Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Today on the show, we're going to see how far back in time we have to go to find a call worse than the one Angel Hernandez made in the Astros-Rangers game. We have an interesting kind of odd update from an Athletic article about the minor league system and what's going on over there. All the minor leagues are being bought up by one company. And then a little insight into my hobby, which is finding twin pitches. I found a good one the other day in a session where I was searching for twin pitches. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee and then we will start. All right. Thank you very much for joining. As I said, it's Jimmy's Three Things, and we are with the Dan Patrick Network now. So if you're tuning in on that new RSS feed, iHeart Podcast, thank you very much for joining. My name is Jimmy. This is a Talking Baseball episode. There's a series that I run on the Talking Baseball YouTube channel. So if you want any of the visuals, you can head there or you can listen on the podcast once a week, deep dives or shallow dives, whatever I want to do. Three topics that I think I'm interested in and I want to spend some time. I fiddle around on my computer so you can see my screen, you can see my searching, and then I talk out loud. And it's kind of just like you guys, we're all here together, a little intimate session. I'm very bad at math. That's something you need to know. And sometimes I talk fast and I mess up my words. I'm not, you know, a professional. I'm not Conan on Hot Ones. That was incredible what he did. Anyway, let's get into it. The first one. So over the weekend, we had these three missed calls by Angel Hernandez in the Texas and Astros game that were incredible. Just absolutely incredible missed calls, three in a row and one at bat outside. Righty pitcher, righty batter, outside pitch with break. Got the first call. Gets the second call, says, I guess I'll just stay out there. Boom. Gets the third. And that third one is incredibly outside. Actually, thanks to umpire auditor, we know that it was 6.78 inches outside, which is the largest miss in umpire auditor history. Unbelievable. Shout out to Maddie Mass, who does the morning show with me. Someone, or I'll shout them out. Adam Samuel said, I need someone to overlay Anthony Rizzo in the batter's box for that last pitch because I'm convinced that last pitch would have hit him and Angel called it a strike. And Maddie Mass, producer here, well, he's more than a producer, but he produces the morning show and is does a lot for us, made the edit on Twitter. And it was close. Might have hit him. I think Rizzo stood closer to that at times and gotten hit by a pitch. Get the Framber at bat, maybe. Maybe that's one he took. But so just a bad call. So I wanted to go to Baseball Savant and see if that's the worst call on a ball on that side of the plate, that far off the plate, this season. So first, I tried to find if we have the coordinates for plate X and plate Z. That's what they use. And someone on Reddit, Jay Remsky, 3 years ago, said, what are the plate coordinates for the strike zone? And then he says, I sampled data from StatCast, only included pitches in the zone, and found the coordinates to be the following. So he has, if the pitch is more than negative 0.8 and less than 0.8, that's off the zone left and right. So I guess that means from the dead center of the plate, we're going an eighth of a, I don't know, 0.8 away, both sides. So I did that. So what I did was I went to Baseball Savant, okay, which I use a lot, and I searched for all called strikes in the season 2024 on pitches that were greater than or equal to 0.83. And what I did was I just took one pitcher at first to make sure I was on the right path. And I typed in Marcus Stroman. So he has 111 pitches. And then if I pitch chart it, because it's less data, so the pitch chart will populate quicker, you can see in the pitch chart that, yes, okay, we have the line. We're looking at all pitches off the plate. If you're a righty batter, it's away from you. So now I'm going to cancel it and not make it so it can be any pitcher at all and search. And we're going to change the included stats of the search to include plate X so we can toggle it by that. And then we're going to group the results by player and event. Someone in the comments last week let me know that that's how you do it so they don't take the average. So when we find the highest and lowest hit ball, when we come back to that, I know a better way to do it now, thanks to that person in the comments. I forget who you were. So this is populating all of them. And because I changed the parameters, it took away the plate X. So let me put that back in here. And that umpire auditor says that that's the most outside pitch called a strike. And here it is. JP France, the pitcher. And this has as 1.4. So I don't know what 1.4 is. I don't know what that measurement is. But yeah, there it is. That's the Angel Hernandez one. I'm
happy with that, especially with the bases loaded, one out.
Bases loaded, one out. So that's the most this season by a good amount. The next is, oh, look, this is the same game. So the second one comes from a different game, but then the third and the fourth come from the same game that Angel Hernandez made all those calls, but a different at-bats because Dane Dunning, the pitcher for the Rangers, saw what Angel was doing and was like, I'll do that. So in the bottom, he got one first in the third inning. So here's Angel again in the same game to Altuve. This wasn't that viral bat, this at-bat. This was a different one. Oh, and we're toggling, and we're waiting, and it's loading. I'll just load another one while we're here. And then this was the fifth inning.
Here's Jose Altuve with a 1-0 count. Oh, it's good to have you back in the booth. Okay. I know you watch every game.
So Angel has...
1-0 the count to Yiner Diaz.
So Angel has won three of the top four this season off the plate that way. And then... here's one, Ronald Blanco, also Texas-Houston series. So someone also Wyatt Langford. Isn't that the JP France one is Wyatt Langford? Okay, that's interesting. So same stadium, or no, did they play like a home and away, like two games?
Three innings. Tonight, nine innings.
Yeah, this is different stadium.
Oh, wow.
Different stadium, but same two teams. Same batter, though. I do wonder if there's any of him reacting. I did a whole breakdown on this on, like, some umps call it on not the pitch, just all the surroundings, like the old school umps. And, like, he throws his hands at it. No, I don't know. You know what it is? I did a whole breakdown on this. Like, if we click on any of these... let's see who this one is. One, this is Boston, Cole Irvin on the bump. I'm going to guess they're all righty pitchers, righty batters. Oh, lefty pitcher. Wrong. Instantly wrong.
Pablo Reyes, second base tonight, hitting out of sixth spot, hitting
one. I mean, that's... you understand a righty pitcher because the ball has to come across, at least from the body. This one's just never even... there. I don't know what that ump's doing. So it's 1.14. Let's go back and include. Now I'm going to change this to greater than 1. Angel Hernandez got three of the top four, and the third one is 1.25. So I'm going to go 1.24. I'm going to see how many years do we have to go back where he gets beat. If I include 2023 in the search and up it just so it has to, it gives us less info, is Angel still the leader? Sort by plate X. Angel, no. Well, he could be the ump in any of these games. So a lot last year, which obviously is a bigger data size. Now, what I'm interested in is when I click these videos, the majority, I would guess, are righty pitcher, righty batter, and the umpire his head is set up way on the inside corner, giving himself a weird angle. And I'm wrong already. The first three are lefty pitchers. So I've been wrong every time I've said that. But let's see the umpire thing. See where the umpire's head is. Because that's what starting pitchers have to figure out. These older umpires, and it's for safety, so you can't knock it too much, they were taught to put their head on the inside edge, no matter where the glove is. Oh, man, that's so off the plate. let's see another one. Well, anyway, Angels is still the worst, the 1.4. Still beats that one. Let's see if it beats the next two. from last year. So how many years do we have to go back? Because the umpire auditor said in its history. So is it going to be every year? It's the worst in the last 10 years of collecting video of these instances. Is that what we're saying? No fucking. Oh, this is the, is this the same ump as the Red Sox series? I think it is. Look where his head is. No way that got called a strike in a two-run game in the bottom of the eighth inning. Who's this umpire? Let's go. 2023, May 22nd, Miami, Colorado reference. This home plate umpire is Bruce Dreckman. I haven't heard that name, which means he's maybe not that bad. Oh, here's the guy. Here's C.B. Buckner. He is maybe the worst at this. Just awful. Look at his head. It's nowhere close. He doesn't even like try to tilt his head to track the ball, to get on the same angle as the ball, to move with the catcher. I did a video on, was it Tom Payne? Or was it Hoberg, who had a perfect game in the World Series? He moves his head with the catcher so we can see the path of the ball, where it's coming from. This is a breaking ball from a lefty, so it, the closest it is to the strike zone is at the very end, and it's still not over the plate. And it looks like Buckner's not even looking at it. That's disappointing. All right, so if I go to last year, JP France, the pitch is still the longest. Let's just toggle this to 1.39, so it's only going to give us in the StatCast error. So I'm going back to 2015. Pitches called that were across the plate at 1.39 or higher and were called a strike. We'll see if this pitch by Angel Hernandez is truly, according to Savant, the worst in the last whatever years. Oh, it doesn't. Okay, so there's been, oh, there's been, no way. Do these have video? Or are these wrong? This one says 4.45. I'm going to guess this is early hit tracks and not true. A game from 2016. And we have video. Steven Piscotty. This has to be a blip. Yeah.
I was going to ask you,
right.
Tim.
So, like, HitTrax just didn't pick that up. It was kind of right down the middle. Now, this next one is 184. Could that really be that far off the plate?
One. Off Givens. First and second. Nobody out. Seventh inning. Goes after the first pitch. Home plate umpire in the check swing.
He might have called that on the check swing, so I don't count that. All right. Luis Severino, 2016. Let's see this one.
Yankees 2. Sandy had 4 RBIs Friday at Dodger Stadium.
So I think we can't count 2016. Maybe we can count 2017. All the 2016 ones are like this. The StatCast is wrong. It's clearly not picking it up right. 2017, Julio Teheran. Let's see what he's got. How bad was this call?
But dating back to that second game in New York where the Braves won.
Right down the middle. 2021, this is my last hope, and then I'm getting out of here. Because all these are just, they're just wrong numbers. They should probably change that on Baseball Savant or something. Although, who else is doing this exercise besides me?
Not sure about the advanced stats there with Earl Weaver.
Oh, no way.
But he believes.
No way. Okay, this is the worst one we've had. That is incredible. So who is this? This is Trey Mancini is the at the plate. Buck Farmer is the pitcher. It's a 5-1 game in the eighth with two on. And this pitch, no way. Look at the ump's head. You can't even see it. He's so far off the plate on the right side. Oh, that's crazy. What umpire is this? Is he still umping? Baltimore and Detroit. Baltimore, Detroit. Reference. Head umpire. Ramon De Jesus. He's still umpiring. Oh, that is worse than Angels. By far, that's worse than Angels. How does that happen? Good for you, Angel. He was worse. 2020. This might have accurate tracking. Because I believe they switched all the to Eagle Eye at some point in 2020 or some point. They switched all the data tracking stuff in the stadiums. This is our guy Brault pitching. I don't know. 2-0 pitch. So old school umpires are going to expand the zone there a little bit. That's just not a strike. You know, I was watching last night. I'm going to find out who this umpire is. Pitt and KC. I was watching the quad box last night. MLB TV has their MLB, I don't even know what they call it, but it's like Red Zone where you can watch four games at once. This umpire in this game was Ed Hickox. So the bad news is we're not running into just one name. I think it would be better if it was just one name. But I was watching the four games at a time last night on the MLB extra innings or whatever the hell it's called. And at one point, Corbin Carroll's up, and they call a strike just way high, and they call it a strike, and Torrey Lavelle's in the dugout like this. And then in the bottom right, the pitch at the same time in the – they might, it might have been the A's game. Sonny Gray was pitching against the A's. He gets a call that's below, and they call it a strike. And it was like two out of the four games they were showing, the two pitches at the same time were called incorrectly, and they were getting frustrated. And I was thinking, this is – push is going to come to shove here. I know at AAA they're practicing the – automatic ball system, and players like the system where they get to challenge it first. There's a video of Paul Skeens challenging it, if I can find that. Skeens challenge pitch. Is that going to come up? And yeah, here it is. So he's a 2-2 count with two outs and two on, and the ump calls out a ball, and he taps his head immediately, so the umpire taps his head. And then they go to challenge it, and in like 4 seconds, it comes up on the big screen, and yep, he got the corner. It's a strike. It's strike three. The inning's over. Simple as that. That's a good system. I like that system. My only like concern is you got to graduate a ton of umps from AAA that have been using this system and understand that strike zone, because the umpires that have been in the league for so long, they're calling a different strike zone. So if they change to this system and have the, you know, the automatic ball tracking system and the umpires call it, and then, but for egregious ones, the pitcher and catcher, they have like 2 seconds to challenge it. It's going to be so sloppy because so many of these umps call a different strike zone and just quite frankly, like a bad strike zone because of their head placement. On the inside corner, the outside is just an absolute mess. And you'll see it. Watch CB Buckner ump, watch Angel ump. Their heads just aren't in the right place to make the call, which I think is a safety concern. Let's end this segment real quick by just finding the worst on the other side of the plate this season. So plate X and plate Z, I'm going to say. And then we're going to say called strike, but we're going to clear this so it's just this season. And I want to find the worst. So we know that Angel Hernandez, the J.P. France pitch to Wyatt Langford, is the worst on the first base side of the plate, way outside. What's the worst on the other side? Is it a lefty batter where the umpire has his head on that side of the plate? That would be my guess. This pitch by Kyle Hendricks on April 5th versus the Dodgers, and this was minus 1.23 to Gavin Lux. Excuse my hiccup.
Our hitters trying to do off of him, read that, and just focus on the fundamentals.
Oh, that doesn't look as egregious. I guess it's not 1.4. I think it's off, but it does have late break to it. Yeah, it's pretty off. But it, for, because the movement goes that way, it's not as egregious in my humble opinion. Okay, let's see if we can toggle the highest pitch called a strike this season. This is going to be the highest or the lowest. This is the lowest pitch called a strike this season. Tristan McKenzie threw it. Now, this also depends on the batter, right? So the batter is Ty France. I was expecting someone not, I was like short, you know. Lowest pitch called a strike.
A lot stronger as well.
Wow.
Ooh, I don't think that's called on a swing either. The announcer just goes, wow. Yeah, I wonder where that crosses the plate. There. No way to really know.
As well.
Wow.
And the highest pitch called a strike. On April 7th, Daniel Palencia is the pitcher, and James Outman. Damn, Dodgers, both sides of this one. Is that the same game? No, this was the same game as the pitch off the plate to Lux. That's at the elbow. Seems pretty high. Who's this umpire? Because he has two. So I feel like that's bad. He has the most off the plate. No. But this crew does. Who is this? Dodgers, Chicago Cubs. So it was two umpires in this crew have the two worst, which isn't good. And this umpire crew behind home plate, Eric Backes, Tom Hannon, Laz Diaz. So, and Estabrook. So that crew. All right. All right. So there you go. That's topic number one. Angel Hernandez has the worst call since 2020, I believe, if we're checking the actual data. And it was really bad. And umpires, I'm worried about them when the new system comes in, which I'm excited for, but I think you got to graduate a ton of umps or, like, retrain some of these umps to understand the difference of the strike zone. Because if the umps in AAA are probably adjusting their zone so they don't miss and get publicly called out by everyone, and the umps at major league level haven't been doing that, so when they do transition, the spring training where they do that is going to be an absolute mess. All right, moving on. There was this article on The Athletic that I'll just briefly touch on because I found it interesting, and I don't really understand it because the article by Chad Jennings, Evan Drellick, and Sam Blum on theathletic.com, so go there if you want to read the whole thing. But there's this new group that's buying all the minor league teams. So when COVID happened, they revamped the minor league teams. They cut them in half, basically, which I know sucked because it put a lot of people out of jobs and it downsized it. But in the end, I do kind of think it was good because they're paying and treating these players nothing and treating them like shit and feeding them a pipe dream that they were going to be big leaguers when there was too many of them. It was impossible. So with the consolidated minor leagues, at least in my positive thought process, they can pay them better, which they're unionized now. They're getting better pay. They can treat them better because there's less, and there's less being sold the pipe dream. Because, you know, the joke was you would sign one dude from the Dominican that you thought was going to be a major leaguer, and then you would sign 10 guys for him to play against and sell them all the same dream. Anyway, there's this group called Diamond Baseball Holdings, and they are aggressively buying, like, every minor league team. They now own 32 of the 120 affiliates, and they're aggressively in acquisition mode. To me, that's just scary because we're, like, monopolizing it or it's becoming a corporation and, like, franchising all the teams so they're all going to look the same and feel the same when it's supposed to be such a local thing. But the article does go on to say that they keep all the local staff, they keep all the GMs, they change some town names, they change some team names from, like, the affiliate club to actually something that serves that town and that city. And they understand small towns. And, like, some other owners that own clubs said that, no, it's been pretty good. They pay fair prices. They're actually helping out and doing better things for the stadiums and the ball clubs. So I'm not trying to sit here and say it's bad because the article gave to both sides of it, the good and then, like, the possibly bad. I just thought it was kind of fascinating that this is happening. I didn't know this was happening. And the map is kind of interesting. So this map in the last 4 years shows all the teams they've bought. They have all four A's affiliates, all four of them. And I believe they have all three of the Red Sox affiliates. It was a very mom-and-pop business, and now it's not. So they really went to the South first. It looks like they started with a lot of the minor leagues in the South and the Yankees. And then they're just continuing to go. In 2023, they bought all over, Midwest, Arizona, California. So, yeah, I mean, you can read the article and make up your own mind on it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it because I don't know if I'm smart enough to fully understand what it could mean down the future and what it can't. Apparently, they're very close to Manfred. And this, there was one line about Little League where it kind of scared me where it said, Commissioner Rob Manfred's One Baseball initiative seeks to put every aspect of the game under one umbrella, that of the major league team owners from Yankee Stadium to Little League World Series and all things in between. That's not good. That's not good. There needs to be some separation there. MLB can't own baseball as it is. Like, that's not good. You know, it's already weird that they own Rawlings, the company that makes their balls. I don't like that because we've seen what happened 2019. 2019 kind of ruined baseball because everyone just believed in the 3-2 outcome then. It is good. You can hit homers. And then, thankfully, we're back to a better state of play, in my opinion, right now. So, I don't know. If you guys have thoughts on this or just give me some more insight and info, like, maybe it's good. Maybe they're helping and they're cleaning it up and not letting bad owners run it because they are caring. But it just seems weird that one group would own all the minor league teams. You know? Isn't that what people are scared about with the news when like every newscaster is saying the same shit just because like it's just like a, I don't know. So I read the article. I'll read comments and all that, read more, but I don't know. Kind of weirded me out. All right. A quick aside before we go to the third topic from our book, Tales from the Dugout by Tim Haggerty. I'm going to flip to a random page. We're going to do page number 120 right here. And this is an uplifting tale. Tall Jersey City first baseman George Merritt lifted short Newark base runner Jim Cockman on July 4th, 1907, and dropped him in the baseline between first and second during a Class A Eastern League game. Merritt then got the ball and tagged Cockman before he could get back to the base. The umpire missed Merritt's move and called Cockman out. That's some schoolyard shit. So the first baseman just picked him up off the bag and threw him on the ground and then tagged him. You're off the bag. Take that, Cockman. Merritt got you. All right, the third thing, twin pitches. I've tweeted about this a lot, but I don't think some of you might not know. I do this hunt when I'm bored on Baseball Reference. It's kind of like when I, like, you know, editing is my hobby and baseball deep dive into stats is my hobby, but I can't. I need to take a break because it's also my job now. So like I've had to find other avenues that are like, this is my hobby time and this is my job time. So no one, this isn't a sponsored segment. I rarely share it, but I hunt for twin pitches that are called something different on Baseball Savant. So the release point has to be the same. The plate X has to be the same. The break on the pitch has to be the same. And then I need them to have been thrown in the same venue, so the camera angle's the same, and not put in play, so we get to see the full flight of the pitch. Lot of things going on, and then I need them to be called something different. So right here you have Mitch Keller's cutter and Lambert's slider. Same pitch. One's 89, one's 90, so I do allow some wiggle room on all of those. I don't have to be exact, but, you know, same release point, so the pitchers have to be similar heights or their release point is the same. Same ball flight and break, but that is Mitch Keller's cutter and Lambert's slider. And I've always found this interesting. Some I've done changeups and fastballs, sliders and curves. This is Lambert's slider and Bird's cutter. So Lambert has a lot of twin pitchers. Just the same pitch, you know? Look at that. I mean, that's a really good one, huh? I got the overlay here. It's the same pitch. They call them different things. Could be in their head, could be in their grip, could be in their release. Could be just what they have to tell themselves. Here's Bauman's slider and Darvish's cutter. Same pitch. This is Descalfani's slider and Anderson's cutter. Little different release on these ones. One's a little lower, so it wasn't exact. But yeah, they call them different names. So that's just a little thing into my twin pitches that I search every now and then. If I find more, I'll do it. I just usually hone in on like one height and then break. But I'll find some changeups and fastballs, changeups and two seams that are the same exact thing but called different. Changeup makes sense because it's in relation to other pitches. The cutter, slider, they're all the same. We're confusing people out here. Thank you for tuning in to Jimmy's Three Things. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment on if you have a deep dive you want me to go into. If there's a player on your team or something you're like, is this happening more to my team than other teams? Please suggest away. Thank you very much. Thank you to Dan Patrick Show. Thank you to iHeart Podcast. See you later. Goodbye. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. See ya.